Hello, and welcome to this fifth edition of Not Another Book Review, the podcast where our guests will share concepts or ideas they have read about in books and their experiences of applying these concepts in real life. Much like our approach to consultancy, theory is all well and good, but it's the application that matters. Today is a special edition of our podcast, not only because we have a guest presenter, our very own Sam Warburton, design and content creator here at Adesi, but also our guest today is the author of the concept under discussion. Daniel Rowles is CEO of Target Internet, a digital marketing guru, consultant and proud author of many books, including the subject of today's podcast, Building Digital Culture. So Daniel, thank you so much for joining us today, and Sam, over to you.
Thanks for the introduction, Rhiannon, and thank you, Daniel, for joining us today. For our listeners, I thought it would be good to start off with telling us a bit about the book and what is a digital transformation.
Yeah, of course you can. So Building Digital Culture is basically all about how you create a successful digital transformation. Just to clarify that, first of all that digital transformation really is saying, where are we now as an organization? And where do we need to be in order to operate in this kind of fast changing environment? And where this was all born from was that a few years back now, Accenture came out and basically said 75% of organizations are either in or about to be in a digital transformation. And then they also put another stat about a week later saying 75% of digital transformations fail, which is a bit of a worrying set of statistics. So we kind of wanted to look at why were they failing? Why were they succeeding? And see if there's anything that could be learned from that. And what really came out was we went off and eventually interviewed about 300 organizations. And I've then continued that research with Imperial College. So I'm a program director at Imperial College and I head up their digital transformation program. And we've continued to interview organizations. And what I think was great about this is it started off as a bit of an idea for a book, but there's a fair bit of academic rigor behind it. And it's very, very practitioner kind of led in terms of the interviews. And basically what came out is there was a load of factors that make organizations succeed or fail. So we went off and we just collected those together and kind of built the data together and then broke that down into a framework. Now, the way that we looked at it, we kind of highlighted 14 areas. And I say we, because I was co-author of the book with a guy called Thomas Brown. So I should really highlight that because Thomas is a great consultant in all things digital transformation. And we worked out an audit and it basically came down. There were 14 different areas, I think, and we'll get into one of those today a bit. And you can audit yourself against these and kind of work out where you are. So what we'll do is I'll send the link through and we'll put it into the kind of show notes. And you can download the audit and put your own organization through it as well, just to see how you kind of gauge against it as well. But that's kind of where it came from.
So one of the key points that stood out for me was the importance of translation and communication. You mentioned a framework called SIBA in the book, S-I-B-A. And I thought it would be good if you could explain this a little bit more for our listeners.
Yeah, completely. So let's just talk about the translation and communication piece, first of all. So the whole piece is that you need to make sure everyone understands what's going on within the transformation. So basically what happens is that you essentially have to decide what the transformation means to the organization, why you're doing it, what it's going to achieve, and why everyone else needs to be behind it. So there's that kind of definition piece that comes first of all, and that takes leadership buy-in to kind of get that done. So you kind of define why you're doing a transformation, what it's going to achieve. The key part of that is to understand that actually, that in reality, a digital transformation is not like an end destination. It's not that you're going to do the transformation, you are going to, go through this process, it's all done, there you are, you're a beautiful butterfly and you come out of your cocoon and it's all done. The reality is you're creating an organization that can cope with ongoing change. So as part of that, because this is going to take a long period of time, we have to communicate to people and help them to understand what this means to them and how it's going to impact them on a day-by-day basis. And one of the things that we saw was that those digital transformations that have been the most successful were the ones that really focused on stakeholder management. And when I talk about stakeholder management, I really formalize stakeholder management. So it's quite easy in the back of your mind to basically have I know John's opinion, I know Sarah's opinion on this, and I think I can manage those people and so on. Whereas the reality is you really need to formalize your approach to it and readdress it on a regular basis. So one of the key things is, first of all, we define things really clearly. we have that leadership buy-in that goes into this. And then we're going to go through and have a stakeholder management plan to go through that and look at that effectively. And then from there, we need to kind of work on that process a little bit. So in line with that whole thing of stakeholder management, communicating things clearly, trying to take people on the journey, the SEBA thing is just really, you start off with thinking about what the stories you want to tell them. So what's the narrative behind this that's led to what you're going to do and why you're going to do it? And I think narrative is really important because it really helps you tell the story and build that narrative internally. And we found it was important that kind of story was told again and again, i.e. where are we now as an organization? What's the problem with that? What pain is that causing to our customers or to our internal customers and so on? And therefore, what are we trying to do with this as we go through things? So we're kind of laying out what we're going to do with the transformation. Then the I is the implications. So the implications are basically saying, what is it going to mean to them? And this is where the stakeholder management piece really comes in. So how is it going to impact them? How is it going to impact the organization? So everyone has kind of clarity on that. And working through stakeholder management there is really important because you need to find out people's opinions of how this is going to actually have an impact on them. So one of the things that we normally do right at the beginning of a transformation, I talked earlier about like auditing things, i.e. where are we now? It's really good to go out and start that communication early so that you're asking people, well, I think this is where we are as an organization. Where do you think we are? Where do you think the opportunities are? And so on. And I'll come back to that point a little bit later on because it starts the communication early. So when you get to implications, you want to hear from them how they're feeling about it. Do they think this is a great idea? Do they think this is yet another initiative that's just more work? And so on. So it's really trying to understand that. Then you're going through and you're thinking about what are the benefits. So from this, what is it actually going to achieve for the organization? And how is that going to help us as we're going through things? And I think that's really important, is to kind of understand why are we doing this and to remind people, because one of the things that can happen an awful lot is that we go through, we start a transformation and some sort of problem happens and it drags on. And these things can be multi-year projects and we're kind of forgetting what the benefit's going to be in the long term. And I think it's always the great thing with this is if you can come up with some things that are a win for the business, so efficiency or increased revenue, but also a win for the customer. And if you can align those two things, then there's a really clear benefit and we can say why we're doing it. And then what comes from that is, okay, what are the actions then that we need to go through and achieve these things? So it's a nice way of framing the conversations and just always getting us to take that step back and think about why we're doing it, how it's going to impact those people, how it's going to benefit us, and then how are we going to action that and revisiting that on a fairly regular basis. Couple of things that kind of came to mind while we were doing the research. The first was there was a lady called Caitlin from Deloitte, and she was head of digital at the time. And one of the first things she did, just kind of start up this conversation about implications, was to go and interview all of the partners at this firm and kind of find out what they thought of digital. What did digital mean to them? And what was really interesting is that she got 35 interviews and got 35 different answers. So this means very different things to different people. So just that alignment is really important of understanding how people feel about these things. Alistair Wellen was one of the guys that we interviewed as well, who was at the time, he was a director at Aegon Insurance. He now does a lot of board work, a lot of very successful businesses. And Alistair talks about one of the things you want to do is a questionnaire at the beginning to ask people what they think the opportunity is, what you're good at, and what you're not good at digitally at the moment. And just to see how that aligns. And one of the things we do is we get people to do this audit and we score it, we give it a number, and then we see how different people score. So by doing that, you start to understand people's feelings about this. And you know, the challenge of digital transformation is that it's about people, it's about change, and it's about technology, amongst other things. And it's about culture more than anything else in the end. But those are all things we struggle with. And the difficult bit is the people bit. So taking this kind of communication approach can have a big impact on making people kind of understand and getting them bought into the whole thing.
So our clients often face some resistance to change on this journey. How would you get stakeholders on board?
Yeah, so I think there's going to be a range of stakeholders involved. One of the first things we say is leadership buy-in is the most important thing in this, because if you can fix leadership buy-in, you can basically fix pretty much everything else. you know, you can get sign off on things, you can get momentum behind them and so on. So in that approach, there's that bit of stakeholder management. We might do shock and awe. Shock and awe would be basically bring an external speaker in and they basically say, if you don't do this, your organization will fail. Now that will work for some boards more than others. So, and there's a kind of famous story of Jonathan McDonald, who's an amazing public speaker and kind of futurist and great thinker, walked into the board of Kodak and basically said to them, you're going to fail. And they literally laughed him out of the building. And we all know what kind of happened to Kodak afterwards. He then went on to speak to other companies, did similar things and kind of really turned them around. So there's that approach. There's also the approach, you make it them the figurehead. So you kind of say, look, we need to do this. We don't fully know all of the implications yet. We know there's some unknowns here, but we need you to figurehead this because that will get everyone else's stakeholder buy-in. So if the leadership are willing to put the hand up and say, look, there's some unknowns in this, but we know that we need to do it, that can really figurehead things and really make it work. So where the CEO and the board are really behind it, that will really help with all the other stakeholder management. There's another one where you make it other people's idea. So the approach we've done before, so we were in this particular organization, really large company, and we said, look, you need a new website and you need a whole new CRM and all these kind of things, you need a digital transformation. They said, oh, a new website, why do we need a new one of those? We only built that one 8 years ago. So there was a kind of attitude that it didn't need replacing. So you said, okay, what we'll do, we'll get five of their leading customers, and these customers were spending millions of pounds each, and we'll sit them in front of the website and we'll get them to try and do things on the website, literally just go and try and find products and services and so on. But we'll switch the webcam on and we'll record their faces while they're doing it. And we got all these recordings, people going, what, where do I click? I can't, this website's awful and so on. And we edited it into a 3-minute sequence and just walked into the board and went, look, this is what your website is doing to your customers. What do you think we should do? And, oh, we need new websites and new systems. Oh, good idea. So there's different ways of approaching that first bit of leadership. The next bit with, you know, everyone else in the organization is mapping them out and working out where they kind of sit on that map. And dealing with, you know, people that are difficult, generally, it comes down to that implications bit we just spoke about. Was like, what does this mean for them? Is it they think it's a waste of time? Is it they kind of think there's something they do is at risk? And one of the groups we found a lot of challenge with is with sales teams in some organizations where you've got very senior sales teams. And actually, a lot of those people have been doing the job for a long time. And they've been doing it the same way for a long time. And it's been successful up until now. And their attitude is generally, well, why am I going to change this? Because what I've been doing up until now works. But the problem is the environment around them is changing very, very quickly. And therefore, it's going to stop working. And if you think about like cold calling and things like that, just, you know, how much it doesn't work anymore. So in those cases, there's a lot of trying to understand, the empathy piece becomes really important, to understand why they're resistant. And actually, if you can do that, then you start to be able to actually take them on a bit of a journey. Education sometimes is key to this as well, which is really about, maybe if you don't really understand some of this stuff, you feel a bit threatened by it, or you feel a bit silly, and therefore your kind of resistance goes up. So actually putting education programs in places so people can understand this and feel more comfortable having conversations and don't feel pushed out by it. The other thing is that you don't want digital to be the cool kids in the corner. So you really don't want digital over here and everyone else somewhere else. Because the risk of that is that, again, it's an us and them kind of situation. And digital is something that enables every other area of the organization rather than it being, you know, a separate thing. Now you can have a center of excellence, you know, that helps everyone get there with it, but actually it should be integrated into the organization. So I think those are a few of the things that will help with that resistance.
In your own experience, what key elements do you think the most successful digital transformations have?
There's lots of overlapping areas. So yeah, we've talked about translation and communication. That tied us back into kind of leadership. And so on. But the thing here really, and why the book being ended up named what it did, was that you can, everyone thinks it's about technology. You know, it's having the right systems. If we get the right systems, we're going to be fine. We've got to do this stuff. The problem is, even with the right systems, doesn't mean you'll change your processes or use those new systems. We might be so busy firefighting and doing the day by day that we actually never get around to doing things in a different way. It may be that, you know, we've got to do something really difficult and therefore there's a risk to it, so we just don't bother taking the risk, but then in the long term, that will damage the organization. So what this all comes down to at the end of the day is changing culture, which is why the book ended up being Building Digital Culture. Because the reality is, the approach of using data to make decisions, taking calculated risks, but doing that in a way that involves stakeholder management, making data-driven decisions, having an approach of test and learn, all of this great stuff that we want to get out of a transformation, in reality needs cultural change. And there's a great thing that we'll put into the show notes as well, which is there's a guy called Stefan Thoma. And Stefan used to work at, he was at Google at Silicon Valley for 8 years. And I got to interview him about basically what did Google do to have this culture of innovation and what can everyone else learn from that? Because we're not Google, right? So how can I apply that to my organization? And the reality, like if you are a social housing provider, what Google does can connect to what you're doing? And he's brilliant at kind of saying, actually, you can take these principles and we can apply them to the things that we're all doing on a day-by-day basis. So I think that, stakeholder management is important and all this kind of stuff. But actually, if you can build the right culture, then you can embrace ongoing change, you can learn and you can innovate. Innovating in large, complicated organizations, lots of stakeholders can be really difficult. But if we build that culture, then actually you can kind of get the momentum and that can really move the needle. So there's this great interview with Stefan that we'll put online and I think it's kind of gold dust. I learned so much now, it was incredible. Yeah, I definitely recommend it. So we'll give the link for that as well.
Great. We'll include Stefan's video in our show notes for how to implement a culture of innovation like Google. So in your experience, what elements do the most successful digital transformations have?
Yeah, so I think, look, the bigger the organization, the harder they are because you've got legacy systems and all those sorts of things. So a lot of the case studies tend to talk about, it's always about banks for some reason. Everyone's obsessed with digital transformations in banks because they always have these legacy systems. Not that many of us run banks. Some people do, right? And I could show you lots of case studies about those. But actually, it's the ones that are really important are the ones that really focus in on user experience. And actually, there's some stuff that's been done, interestingly, in the NHS around this, where you've got a really complicated organization. And actually, taking parts of that organization and trying to do that, not trying to do the whole thing at once. Because if you try and boil the ocean, you'll actually find that you just lose momentum, you don't get anywhere. And what was really great is they started to talk about patients as customers, which is a very common thing anyway now. But the idea of like, what is the customer experience? Do everything based on the customer experience. Everything that happens in the background is how we do things. And that's our current culture, but that's, that shouldn't be it. It should be about improving the customer experience. And if you look at it from that perspective and become very customer centric, those are the transformations that tend to have the biggest impact. And I think we always talk about startups. And if you look at startups, it's because they're agile and they're fast. And it's just, that's easy when you're four people and you've got huge amounts of funding and no legacy systems. Where actually those transformations, I think they're impressive, are those ones where you actually say, right, let's go customer centric, forget how we do things at the moment. What would good look like? And then what are the iterative steps and taking a pragmatic approach to kind of get there? So I think that auditing is a good way of doing it. Because if you look at these kind of 14 areas and say, how successful are we in each of these areas? Let's realistically look at them and say, actually, what do we need to do? If we've audited ourselves, what would we need to do to make it perfect? And then prioritize it and have a list of actions. And really, at the end of the day, a digital transformation is just a list of initiatives that we need to carry out. And it's about just trying to prioritize and keep momentum of those. So I think, the examples that I was impressed with is when we take a complicated thing and just boil it back down to basics and say, how do we do things better for our customer? And what that will mean is that they have a better experience, we deliver our service better, and there's cost savings, and there's efficiencies and so on that comes with that as well.
I think that lends itself really well to Adesi's approach of continuous improvement and customer focus. For the benefit of our listeners, this isn't the only book you've written.
Yeah, so I do a lot of stuff around digital marketing as well. So I've done digital branding. We did a podcast marketing strategy, and we also did, and I can't even remember what my own books are called now. We also did one on mobile marketing as well. So yeah, it's and a lot of the stuff that I do is around that connection between education, practicality of kind of putting things into place, and how does it really work in practice. So I think, and this book was a particularly special one, I think, just because we had so much involvement from industry and people are showing us, what they'd done. And we've continued the research afterwards, which is nice as well. So so we kind of, the audit has been updated and we give that out for free. So hopefully it'll be a really useful resource for everyone and they can see where they kind of sit within their progress towards this and where they should probably focus their efforts. And hopefully that will give them a little bit of momentum in terms of getting some buy-in for the change that they need as well. And hopefully some tips about the communication with things as well.
We love your practical approach, and it's supported by hundreds of interviews and academic study. Thank you so much for being a guest on our podcast today, Daniel.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. And I hope those resources are useful to people. Thanks very much. And please feel free to reach out on social media if anyone's got any further questions as well.